It's your day with an electrician at Rosie on the House. I want to talk just a minute. Timothy, I see you're calling from Mesa. We're going to get to your question. Hang tight just a couple minutes. I'll jump right on your call. Hang tight. Okay, we're here with Ben Perkins from Fox Valley Electric and Solar. Ben, if someone wanted to get a hold of an electrician to get someone out to the house to look at a situation, what number would they call?
Just call 623-587-7370. You can also contact us from our webpage, which is www.foxvalleyelec.com.
And if someone wanted to talk to, I think y'all's take on solar is extremely innovative and a little bit different than a lot of other solar installers. If someone wanted to talk about solar possibilities or backup generator possibilities or electric wall possibilities at their home, what number would they call for that?
They call that same number. That's 623-587-7370.
All right. Very good. Fox Valley Electric and Solar. Rosie certified. Service area is, but for the most part, valley-wide, and on special occasions, I know Randy's even reached out farther than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to talk about surge protection because it's been a passion of mine for 15 years. When I first learned about it, I couldn't understand why it wasn't already in the codes. Folks, the power generation companies are generating enough electricity for you, your neighbors, and the entire grid. And they're doing it and delivering it to you at close to 120 volts.
Right.
We're kind of in that range. But they're sending it to you in waves, and it could go 108, 9, 10, 140, back to 115, 118. And that power is hitting you in waves. Every time it goes over the rating of the electrical equipment in your house, it's excessively wearing those units out. So, you go to the drugstore or the hardware store, and you buy these silly little things that plug in. You have a dual receptacle, two plug-ins, but your work desk requires eight things to get plugged in. So you go buy this thing that plugs into one of those receptacles in the wall, and it has eight plugs on this strip that's called a circuit protector or surge protector. And you plug all that stuff in that one thing, and you think you're protected. You're not.
No.
You're not even close to being protected.
You're actually probably going the wrong way with loading that one circuit up with so many things.
Absolutely. So whole house surge protection actually stops all those little peaks of power ever even entering your home. It's not hitting your compressors, in your air conditioner, in your refrigerator, in your freezer. It's not, which are all expensive electronic components. It's not hitting your big screen TV. It's not hitting your computer. It's not hitting your entertainment equipment. It's not hitting your light circuits. So you're actually protecting your whole home by a device that's mounted where the electricity comes in your house. And when it picks up a surge, it shuts it down in a nanosecond.
Yeah.
A nanosecond is 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. And it sends that to ground. And it never ever wears out. It's a one-time investment that lasts the life of your home. And it extends the life of every electrical component in your house. So you think, well, wow, that must really be an expensive device. What are y'all installing whole house surge protectors for now?
They're not that expensive.
What they get you, it's the cheapest insurance policy on the planet.
I mean, people will spend, you spend $11,000 on a Sub-Zero fridge.
Yeah.
Or you can spend, a little bit less than that, thousands less than that, and protect all of your electronics, including that $11,000 fridge.
Everything.
Because if you get that power surge and that goes through your house, you have to replace your and all of your electronics.
Well, it's very interesting that we were on the phone, Gary and I were on the phone with someone from National Electric Code, and they said, well, Rosie, and I mentioned to him if I could be king for a day, and he said, well, Rosie, we've granted you your wish. We've now adopted that into the code, every new home after 2022.
So, I grant thee king.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, let's get to Tim calling from Mesa, who's been very patient. Let's see if we can bring him into the conversation. He wants to have a day with an electrician, ask a question of our electrician here in studio. Mr. Tim, what are you working on today?
Well, so it's already installed, but I installed an EV charger. And we have we used 6 gauge for the conductors, 8 gauge for the ground, and this is a hardwired EV charger. And it's running through 3/4 inch EMT. And so my question is when that charger is pulling its 48 amps at its max draw, to me, that conduit feels hot. I mean, it's not like burning your hand hot, like where you can't hold on to it hot, but it's quite warm. And this is, 190C copper, Home Depot grade, wire. So, I mean, so it's the right kind of wire that should be for the EV charger. I'm just curious of how hot that should be. Right.
That's a fair question.
It's a fair question, and it's tough to answer because those wires will get warm, especially when it's running at its peak, when it's pulling its most power and drawing the hardest. Those wires do get warm. That's why it has that 90 degree centigrade rating on it. So that's the temperature that the wire is rated for. So it will definitely get warm. And I know this sounds silly, but is it on a block wall?
No, it's on the interior garage wall. We ran it, we have a 3-car garage, so I ran it to the middle, because if we ever get another EV, that way I'm not running a secondary charger. I can use the same charger for both vehicles.
Oh, okay. Because I know some people, when they have it on a block wall in their garage, they don't realize that heat transfers from the wall onto the pipe. So in the middle of the day when the heat's beating down on that wall, that'll also cause that conduit to get warm as well. And I know it's just something silly, but it's always, start at the very basic things and move on from there. When you're out there, is there a smell at all, or is it just warm?
No, it's just warm. I have pulled the cover off of the EV charger and the breaker. The wires are as tight as I can get them, without causing obviously damage to the breaker. On the EVs, on the charger side, the quick lock type connectors where you lift the little tab up and then you slide it in and you push it back down. And so that's all tight and secure. And I haven't noticed any arcing. I haven't noticed any problems. We've had the vehicle since June. And when I temperature test it, with my, IR gun, I mean, it's within range given the temperature. It's just, I don't know. For me, it felt like it was hot. And I guess at 48 amps, it's going to be hot. But
yeah.
I mean,
I don't think it's anything to worry about. I mean, if you would like, give us a call and we can have our technician come out and take a look at it. But if it's not, piping hot and you're not smelling anything, it doesn't smell like electrical arcing. That has a very, very distinct smell if you've ever smelled a burning outlet, that'll be ingrained in your memory.
But right next to burning flesh.
Yeah, exactly. Something you want to know about.
Yeah.
I don't think that's anything. I mean, they will get warm. It's just you're pulling a lot of power, especially when it first starts and you're kicking up that charger.
And Tim, I would guess that installing an EV charger is something that most cities would require a permit for. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
It's definitely it's always good to, have people come out and take a look at it before you don't want to get dinged by the city. But
And I would say, Tim, if you did this yourself, it sounds like you know what you're doing. I'd go to the city hall and say, look, I put it in. I didn't realize it needed a permit at the time, but I'd like to pull a permit and ask for an inspection. You've already done what I would have done. I would put the IR gun on it, read the temperature, and verify it's within range of what that wire's rated for doing. But if you didn't pull a permit, that'd be the other thing I'd think about doing. So, Tim, we appreciate the call. When it comes to electricity, smell, anything that's buzzing.
Yep. Buzzing is not a good thing.
or arcing that you can hear or see. The heat generated, it's always something to be aware of.
Absolutely.
At the very least.
Yeah, I mean, especially anything that starts arcing, that's when you're talking fires.
Yeah, talking. I hope that's all you're doing, just talking about them, not putting them
not
out.
Putting them
right?
out. Yeah.
Let's talk about one of the things that in remodeling, when we go out to someone's house that wants to do a kitchen remodel or a bathroom remodel or an addition, of course, one of the things we do is assess the existing box, you know. So we open the door and we take a picture. Are there any vacancies for more breakers? What's the current load? Is it a 100 or a 200 amp box? I'll tell you, and I don't need to tell you this because you already know it. 8 out of 10 either aren't labeled or they're so poorly labeled you can't even interpret it. How do y'all move to a house? And this is another thing. This is my next thing, I guess, to get passionate about. Those electrical circuit breakers ought to be clearly labeled.
Absolutely.
A lot of times it's done with a Sharpie.
Yep.
Right on the cover panel. And that lasts about 4 to 5 years. And it seems like eventually, especially for a panel facing south or west, the ink literally gets burned off.
Yep.
I always tell people, I don't care how you really label it in the box, but write it on a piece of paper with a picture, laminate it, and either mount it inside the box or mount it inside in the house somewhere.
Absolutely. Having your panels labeled either on the panel or, you know, laminated inside it or somewhere in the house so you or anybody that comes to your house to do any sort of electrical work knows which circuit is which is incredibly important.
If I called you and said my panel is not labeled, how would y'all go about doing that? It seems like an extremely tedious job.
It is. It is tedious, and generally, it's much easier with two people.
Yes.
And just going through one by one and checking outlets. You know, turn off the breaker, find where it's dead, find the entire area. Because in a kitchen, you might have one section that's on one circuit. And then behind you might be an entirely different circuit. So you have to check both of those sides, because if you just label kitchen without knowing which side, you could potentially get hurt.
Sure.
Without turning everything off.
So two guys, 200 amp, 2,000 square foot home. How much time are y'all going to spend labeling a panel?
As long as it takes to get it right.
I mean, it's going to take half a day, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit less than that, but it's going to take a bit.
Okay.
It's incredibly important just to know, because if something does go wrong and, you know, you don't have time to call an electrician or anything, that you run out, you know where to turn it off. You know what breaker it is.
We're here with Ben Perkins, estimator and chief of business development for Fox Valley Electric and Solar. We'll be back to answer any questions you might have. If you'd still like to try and get in, the number's 1-888-767-4348.